On Wednesday nights, we've been taking a look at the study it's been for some time, taking a look at the enemies of Israel, We're nearly to the list that is mentioned there and listed in Psalm 83. We're dealing with the Assyrians. And as we take a look at the Assyrians, there's a lot of content here. And what we're finding here is a character study of some men. And so if you have your chart of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, we might refer to that a little bit tonight. Is there anybody that would like a chart that doesn't have one? All right. I remembered to print them. Want one? There you go. Anybody else? You want one? All right. There you go. Anybody else? Got one more. Okay. Everybody good? Okay. And so last time we took a look at the trouble that came upon King Hezekiah. And you can see King Hezekiah there and the kings of Judah. This is the divided kingdom, Israel and Judah, after Solomon's reign, and his son Rehoboam was given Judah and Benjamin by the Lord, and then his servant, one of the men in his army, Jeroboam, took the 10 northern tribes. And you can see here about their reign, the years of their reign, whether the Lord said they were a good king or an evil king, and some scripture references about that. These charts, these two listings here, are not they're not in sync. Okay, so they're not in sync time-wise. If you want to make a note about this, Hoshea is the last king of Israel, and the end of his reign is right here at the reign of Hezekiah in Judah. And so in the future, I look to take and stretch this chart out and maybe put it more in sync to give us some understanding there. And so we're looking about Hezekiah. We saw the great a conviction that he had from the Lord and the Word of God, even though his father was a wicked king. You can see that Ahaz was such. And he turned things around. And he by the blessing and power of the Lord and the following the Lord, that's all he did was look to obey the Lord. There was great blessing and pursuit and encouragement and protection until these things that we read and took a look at last time in 2 Kings 18 came upon him. I likened it to how it can be with you and me. Oh, I've looked to get my life turned around and got everything right and got lined up with the Lord. I repented. I'm back to following him and what I should do and everything. And then why is this trouble coming on me? Well, we can find that in our own lives. We can think that ourselves. And the thing is, we need to always remember that our lives are in the hands of our Lord. And I was talking to somebody recently about this, and it's true. Things in life are either a testing by our Lord, because the Lord tests his children, or we're being tempted by Satan, tempted by the world, tempted by our own self and our old man and depravity. And so here these things came upon Brother Hezekiah and the nation there. Ultimately, that the Lord might be glorified, and I think so there would be a blessing even in this day of rebellion of the nation. Remember, Israel, the 10 northern tribes, are gone. They're gone. And Hezekiah is king over Judah and has made this great turn, but still all the baggage of all those previous years. Look there in Judah. Look at the evil kings. Ahaz, Hezekiah's dad, was a bad king. And then Athaliah, which was a woman that ruled over Judah, and was a result of, just some bad company there. And then those other ones, Jehoram and Ahaziah, were bad kings. And so whenever there's evil that's pursued, there's always baggage that comes along with it. And many times the children and the grandchildren pay for it. So we looked in chapter 18 of 2 Kings last time, and we saw this great threat of siege, the siege because of sin. And so this man who is in the army, Rabshakeh. He's in the king of Assyria's army. He's been sent to Jerusalem to threaten Jerusalem and Judah and King Hezekiah. I'm looking here. I've got to look at his name to be able to pronounce it if I'm going to be even close. And I'm looking for it. Sennacherib, okay, is come up against Israel. And Rabshakeh is one of his generals, one of his captains, and he's made this great threat of siege upon the city. We took a look last time about that, why that was so bad. Understand, these people aren't fighting and taking control the way that we are used to armies fighting and taking control in our day. Okay, there's not a Geneva Convention. There's not a humanitarian watchdog and guard. If you lose, you may lose your life, even though you're innocent and never raised a sword, and you may be abused and sold into slavery and brought into slavery or whatever. There's no quarter. No quarter whatsoever. And so that's the reason a city would hold out and hold out and hold out. We're going to see more about that tonight. So in 2 Kings 19, let's read. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, the message of Rabshakeh from his king, from the king of Assyria, heard it, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. So he heard these things that Rabshakeh had to say from the king of Assyria over in chapter 18. And it was a threat. I mean, it was a threat. We will starve you out and then we will take you. And there's been nobody that's been able to stand up against us. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. Now, we've not brought any of Brother Isaiah's book into this study, and it would be most appropriate to do so, but Isaiah is a prophet in this day. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day, they're speaking to Isaiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke, and of blasphemy from the king of Assyria. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. So you can imagine that. This is an allegorical kind of reference here, that there's potential for life, there's potential for a future, but there just isn't enough strength to get the baby born. I mean, it's most serious. There's going to be, in that allegory, in that picture, there's death to the child and maybe even death to the mother. It's just, we're weak, wrung out. There's just no more to give. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. And so you can take a look in chapter 18 about Rabshakeh's words, and they're bitter and they're terrible and they're an offense to us. It's for us to even imagine about what he declares there is just terrible. And so they are sent from Hezekiah to Brother Isaiah to pray, and they reference the very things that Rabshakeh has said. That blasphemy that is there, and what he said about the other gods of other lands and cities and such that weren't able to deliver them, don't think that your God can deliver you. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. Whoa. It's faith time. Amen. It's faith time, because the man of God, the prophet of the Lord, has spoken. Don't be afraid of the words which thou hast heard. You're going to have to believe the Lord and not believe these men who seem to be in control, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Don't be an enemy of the Lord. Amen. I mean, we've seen that over and over again. And you know, we as the children of God, operating well and obeying our Lord and walking with Him and in His Spirit and His truth and in His way, we can make the same claim. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna. So Isaiah has said what he said, and the Lord has said what he is going to do. And it's miraculous, isn't it? It's almost, how in the world can that ever be? But we see here, Rabshakeh returned from there speaking to the leadership and those sent from Hezekiah at the wall there in chapter 18. And he found the king of Assyria warring against Libna up to the north, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish, where he had been before. And when he heard say of Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers again to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. So this man, Rabshakeh, is so proud and so confident of their successes that as he looks to go up and help his own king and then engage these of Ethiopia, it seems, if I understand that right, he doesn't forget about how he's bragged before the Jerusalem and the household of Hezekiah. And he sends a messenger back there and said, don't think that this is going to change anything. Don't let not the God. And so now his reply is directly against the God. Remember when he was at the wall, he said, don't let Hezekiah talk you into trusting your God. Now he's saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee. He had said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Now he's saying, don't let God deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered at the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which are in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Shepharvaim and Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. So he wrote and sent a letter to Hezekiah. And he reads it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I tell you what, if we are the Lord's people, that's what we have to do. Now, Lord willing, tonight we're going to take a look at something else related to this. But this is here in 2 Kings, it's dealing with the situation and an appeal to God for help. An appeal to the Lord for help. And so Brother Hezekiah just goes up there to the temple and he lays it out before the Lord and says, Lord, here's what they're saying. Here's what they're blaspheming. He received the letter at the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. Now, I want you to watch how he prayed. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, we need to pray particularly. That is what our Lord expects. You and I very often do not ask anything of one another generally. We ask things of one another when we need one another's help specifically. Our Lord is no different. We should always yield to the will of our Lord. But listen to how our brother prays. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. And of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Now, he he deals with the Lord here from the standpoint, Lord, look at this. Hear this. Understand what this man has spoken against you. See, Hezekiah doesn't come in there saying, look what he said against me. Don't. He doesn't go in there saying, look how he looks to compromise my kingship. But he says, Lord, look at what he's saying about me, your child, your king that you've appointed over Israel. And look what he said about your city. And look what he said about your people and your land. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. Everything that he said about that is true. And have cast their gods into the fire. Does the Lord know this? He knows it better than Hezekiah knows it. But you know what Hezekiah is doing? He's taking the time to tell what's on his heart and the greatness of this threat and his appeal to his God, to our God, to our Lord, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands. He knows the truth about that. Wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them, because they were no gods. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee. He's saying, I beg you, Lord. I beg you. When's the last time you ever begged the Lord for anything? I tell you what, the Lord is honored by us asking him for our need and the need of others and such. We don't need to ever forget to worship the Lord for who he is. We never need to forget to thank the Lord for what he has done. But when's the last time you and I begged the Lord for anything? That's what our brothers do. And I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Now, Hezekiah isn't telling the Lord how to do it. I suggest you could do it this way. I suggest you could do it that way. But he's asking right down to where the rubber meets the road, Lord, we need help and we beg you. I beg you to deliver us. I beg you to deliver us that your name, that you might be glorified in it. The Lord enjoys hearing that from his children when they are threatened, when we are threatened. And may we remember that. May I remember that. That the kingdoms of earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Verse 20. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. What'd he say? What you prayed, I've heard. He wants to hear from us. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. This is what God has said. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Now, did you see that anywhere out of Hezekiah? Look at you. You have done messed up. I know that's bad English. Hezekiah didn't do that. But that's the way the Lord looks at it. Isn't that something? Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? The Lord speaking against Sennacherib and telling what he's going to do regarding this king. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice, even by his messenger, and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? Now I ask you, brothers and sisters, on this side of life, if Brother Hezekiah had not prayed, would there have been this deliverance? You don't have to answer that. But I tell you what, I want you to mull that over, because we've read it right out of the Word of God here. He says he's heard. And the thing is the Lord is greatly offended. And the Lord is very jealous over his own. By thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord, verse 23, and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, I think up there where he's warring now, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of his borders, and into the forest of his Carmel, which is Mount Carmel up north of the Sea of Galilee. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and his exploits the king Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, has. And with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. I mean, he's going in and changed things, took it over, made it his own. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to laid waste, fenced cities, and to ruinous heaps. If I understand that right, the Lord's saying, I have given you your power to pour out my judgment upon these nations that you've overtaken. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb it was easy to take, as the grass of the housetops and as the corn blasted before it be grown up when it was tender. But I know thy abode, King Sennacherib, and thy going out. I know where you live and your chamber every day, and thy coming in and thy rage against me. I tell you what, don't be found an enemy of the Lord. Amen? Because the Lord knows it. The Lord knows it down to the heart. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose. Look at that picture. The Lord says a hook in the nose. I mentioned earlier about praying for the leadership of our land. For those that wish to do and pursue evil, I pray that the Lord will do that. Take them and turn them. Turn them and defeat them in their wickedness, their wicked, wicked pursuits. I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. I'm going to take you home, boy. I'm going to take you on home to where you came from. And that man, Sennacherib, he wouldn't consider going home until he was good and ready. But you know what? The Lord is able to work. He's able to touch. He's able to move. He's able to stir. He's able to allow. He's able to let pass to take that fella right on back where he came from. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves. I think this is speaking to the children of Judah, of Jerusalem. And in the second year, that which springeth of the same. He says, I'm going to give you increase. Hezekiah, I'm going to give you increase. Where you all are starving now because of the siege or the potential of the siege, or you have fear of that. In the third year, sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. There's going to be a blessing from the Lord. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of the Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. As they came to Brother Isaiah and they said, it's time for the child to be born, but there's no strength. The Lord says, I'm going to give a bounty. I'm going to give an increase. I'm going to give a help to the remnant that remains. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. He's not even coming back. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass, a common phrase in the scripture. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out. Who's that? I tell you what, I think that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Pre-incarnation appearance and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in line with what I preached here recently. I think I mentioned it some Sunday. Preached about it out in Ohio. The scripture says in the New Testament, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 180, that's 80, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. He lived and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh, which is up where Israel was, one of its chief cities. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, who can do that? Nobody but our Lord. The threat of the siege because of sin was great. But the Lord, just like that, in a night, turned it. May our Lord help us that we have faith in Him that way. I want us to read over here in 2 Chronicles 32, and I'll be patient. We'll just read this quickly. And I want to add this. And in 2 Kings, we see about the brother's appeal unto the Lord. We see about his earnest appeal unto the Lord to work, the helplessness that they have, and the necessity of going to the Lord. But I want us to see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, in this same thing, this same setting and same account, I want us to hear the words that are said here and Hezekiah's attitude and his leadership of the people here. Both are true. Both are appropriate. But we see another side here. After these things, in 2 Chronicles 32 verse 1, after these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. We've seen that. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together, who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" What they thought to do, they did. Let's don't make it to where there's water outside of the city for them to have easy water outside. But let's stop it up so they, the Assyrian army, if they do come, won't have access to it. Hezekiah is praying all along, and the Lord has given him this wisdom, and he did what he could do, what was before him to do. And he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken, and raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, which is to the southeast of the Temple Mount as we know it today. And there's dispute about that now. But that's if you know what's referred to as the Temple Mount now, this area here, the city of David, is south of that, and made darts and shields in abundance. They got ready to fight. We might just read 2 Kings and think, oh, they're just kind of despairing and wasting away and just kind of blobbed out on the bench, just nothing to do. No, they did all that they could do. They did before them what they had to do, what they could do, but yet praying and seeking the Lord's face and help. And he set captains of war, verse 6, over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous and be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him." And that's true, isn't it? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. And with him is an arm of flesh, verse 8. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He was a leader. He led the people, and he led them by looking unto the Lord and referencing the Lord and the Lord's ability indeed. After this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem. Okay, we saw about that. But he himself laid siege against Lachish. We read about that. And all his power with him. unto Hezekiah, king of Judah. So he sent these messengers, and Rabshakeh that we saw is mentioned by name, unto the king of Judah and to all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? So we see this about the siege, the threat of siege. Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? So this is another way that it is said. The threat of the siege, the threat of slow death, the awfulness of even going through that and yet being taken over captive in a very weak and compromised situation. Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? To men, that doesn't make sense. More is better. More altars. Every high place. Look how this man has compromised you. Look how this man has brought you down. Look how this man has even weakened your appeal unto your God. He's made it less. But this man knew nothing about what God had ordained. The way of the Lord. Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands in any ways able to deliver their hands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? Now, therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this matter, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand? And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him. This writer, under the inspiration of the Lord, we know, but was very sensitive about that. Look how he words that, to rail against the Lord. And that's what it was. To rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall. Remember that if you were here last time in 2 Kings 18. To affright them and to trouble them that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of men. And for this cause Hezekiah the king, the prophet, and for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven. When's the last time we cried to heaven? The Lord still likes his children to cry into heaven. And not for a spectacle, not for a show, but out of a burdened heart for the need and the help that is needed at hand. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. Who could orchestrate that? Who could work to defeat the enemy like that? Only our God. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Remember what the Lord prophesied, what the Lord told through the prophecy of Isaiah, that there would be a bounty and abundance? I tell you what, it fired up and continued on. They were in a strait. They were squeezed. They had the threat of siege upon them. And what did they do? What did the king do? He appealed unto the Lord. He appealed unto God. And the Lord delivered them in a great and mighty way. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah, verse 22, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. I tell you what, that was looking pretty bad, wasn't it? But I tell you what, there is no God like our God. Like has been said here in the scripture, all others are the figment of man's imagination. What can we learn from this? When we're tempted, when we're tried, may we go to our Lord for the help that is needed. When there are situations at hand, troubling things that happen to families, to children, to adults, to great problems of heart and of distress that happen for all different kinds of reasons in this world, who is there that can work? It's only our Lord. But may we learn also that when there is something for you and me to do, like make the darts and make the shields and encourage one another in the Lord, and have a hope and a desire in our Lord, may we do that. And then may we also, alongside of that, before, during, and after that, appeal unto our Lord to help and deliver. The greatest thing, and there are many things, many troubling things at hand in this world, and again, things that you and I, we don't have a clue how to begin to try to solve, but they're not beyond our Lord. And may we go to Him specifically in prayer. That's another thing that we can learn from this too, to go, may we beseech and cry unto our Lord to be merciful and work. To not be so proud that we don't humble ourselves in a true desire for our Lord to work and appeal to our God. He's worshiped in that. And we're confirmed in our weakness in that. And that glorifies Him and that helps us. May the Lord help and bless us. Has God changed since this day that we've read about tonight? Our Lord hasn't gotten modern, has He? No, He's the same God. And not that ancient is bad. Ancient of days is, I think that's really good, isn't it? But He's as relevant today and able today as He ever has been. And may we know that. And may we rest in that. And may we pursue that. Amen. Don't be an enemy of the Lord. I tell you what, there's nothing better than being our Lord's child. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, the passage in the New Testament scriptures that tell us there's only one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. He's the one that we need, that you need, able to deal and talk with God about you and your need, and able to understand and deal with where you're at. He's tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He's a man. He became a man. He's the right man to be able to mediate. And of course, He's the intercessor, and He's able to pay the debt. He is the Savior, and you need Him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be mindful to pray for those not saved, and beg our God to be merciful unto them and save them. All things will be done according to His will. But I tell you what, I challenge you, get specific with the Lord. And may we pray that He would work marvelously in our lives.